Well, we were just talking about your trip to England and Sweden for the United Farm Workers Union. Is there anything else you want to observe about that trip, like people you met?
Okay. there was a... I want to put this. The best write-up was done by a left-wing paper. It was named Morning Glory in England. And there was a young girl who wrote it. Now...
It featured you?
Yeah. One day I put a write-up, you know. And the others I did not see. And I want to say this to be in the record that the other papers I did not see, but that's what that kind of a paper, the left-wing paper, was the one that they showed to me. So you could see that the progressive papers were all the way backing up the movement, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are more in the middle might be also, but I did not see any.
Mm-hmm.
And then the conservative, of course, didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, and another thing that I want to call is the people, there were two young people who met me in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
When I arrived over there. And I never saw the night when I went. When I got in, it was early in the morning. And I remember the name of the girl. Her name was Jennifer. But I forgot the name of the guy. You know, mm-hmm. And they were the ones that got me there. And the way I assessed was that they were also kind of progressive people. And the one who invited the press for me to talk was also belonging to the progressive group,
mm-hmm.
You know. But he was working for the union. They were all the world union people. And there was another thing like this. Then when I came home, he told me, who met you in the airport?
Yeah.
Okay, that was Larry. And then Larry said that they were worried about me because I did not go back soon. But you see, when I was in the Council of Churches, you know, I have a lot of respect for people that I didn't want just to go there and then talk and then leave, you know. But the way Larry talked looked like when I deliver the message, then I leave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not in control of the agenda. I got to wait until I got a chance to say so, something. And then at the same time, you know, I have to kind of observe also and talk to some people there. You see, and I talked to McGovern. And I told him that I was from the Homeworkers Union. I'd like to say something about it, you know, something like that. And he said, yeah, sure, you know. And that was the first time that I talked to him. And then Larry said, but I never said anything about my problems, about shortage of money, and I slept in the station and something like that. I didn't want to talk to him. You know, he was not for me anyway. And then he said, you know, you see, when you made the trip to England, to London, see, I favored it, you know, because if I objected it, you cannot go. You cannot go, you know. And I was surprised about this kind of remarks, you know, because, well, he didn't need to say that, you know. But see, he wants to make me understand that he was for me. See, he got an idea that, you know, I got the sense, maybe because of my attitude also, that he wants to dispel that belief that Larry is not for me. Mm-hmm. So he said this, I think he said these things, you know. He was for me. But do you think it was proper for him to tell me that if he objected, they could not go? It's out of place, you know. So then that spelled out that really I was not really for Larry. And one time, this was in another occasion where we were by ourselves, he said, you know, Philip, you're supposed to support me, you know? And I said, yeah, right, you know. But then that's all I could say. But I was supposed to support him, but he won't tell me anything.
Yeah. Well, why did you not spell it out then when you were...
No, I didn't.
You just said...
I did.
You suppose right now, if things were to go back and you were asked that by him again, you would have indicated to him why you should not support him, why you don't support
the trouble,
him.
I might say it maybe now, because I also watch him, I also observe him, that all the indications that he was not for me. So I don't want to tell him this and that because he doesn't want to hear about it, see? So it's just like Caesar. Now the only difference is he's, I'm a Filipino, he's Filipino, and Caesar's a Mexican and I'm not. But in the struggle, Caesar was more effective and he beat Larry.
Yeah.
Of course, he's not only Larry, he beat us all.
Yeah.
Including myself.
Yeah, well, let's move on to a discussion of the volunteers. In the union, and particularly your relationships with them.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what did you think of volunteers in the union, and how did you relate with them?
I think I related very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, my problem was not...
You like volunteers in the union, in other words.
I like them. My problem was not the people who came around and helped, no. I don't care what kind of organization, you know, were Protestants or Catholics or students. I was invited. I have very good relations with them.
Yeah. Because weren't there people in the union who were sort of not very enthusiastic about volunteers in the union?
Some.
I see.
Yeah. And I think they are influenced by the religion, you know. Because some penetrated very well, like for instance Admire and Jim Drake and so like that. They are both welcomed by the Catholics and the Protestants, you know. But It's the Filipino side that was really alienated and isolated. The reason was our leadership was not effective, you know. It's not unified and not effective. So we didn't have the liberties required to protect ourselves. We didn't have that.
No, I was just talking about to volunteers. So in this issue, the Filipino leaders, were they generally in favor of union of volunteers or no? Let's say to start with,
in the beginning, he was green. Mm-hmm. And green, I was talking to green. And I said, because we were sitting side by side. But I was not close to green. Mm-hmm. Because I was new to him. And Tamsi and Ben Gines, they were kind of buddy-buddy, you know. So I said, Mr. Green, you know, what about these students, you know? Because that time we were sitting together, there was a lot of people, students in the hall.
So it had been a hall?
Yeah. Because that's the rendezvous. That was the meeting place. You know, when they go to their side, they just go there to visit, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, look where Cesar Chavez was, you know, how he operates in the world, you know, something like that. Well, I said, no fear, you know. These children, you know, don't know anything. You know. They're just creating some mess. You know, you will have more problems than you're going to. See? Mm-hmm. So, but then when it comes to Kircher, who came later, mm-hmm. then Kircher is for it.
For student volunteers?
Yeah. Any volunteer, you know, mm-hmm. wherever you came from. That was my impression. Mm-hmm. He was all right. He was a Catholic. See here, in the other side, the volunteers had put life into the Cesar Chavez group. And then here's the Magnan Ministry, who were kind of involved about civil rights and so on like that. And Green, who had been influencing Chavez, mm-hmm. I mean, influencing Ben Gines, mm-hmm. he didn't agree. Mm-hmm. See, now, I didn't understand about this guy, Andy, because he told me Cesar sent him to Oregon because they were talking about civil rights there, you know, and it's supposed to be union, you know. So Andy didn't know what he was talking about either, see.
Yeah.
Because all those people there who were helping, that's why they were helping, because they were involved in civil rights. Mm-hmm. And Pete also didn't understand. Because, you see, when we were in the board meetings, he was telling Cesar that so-and-so had been attending in these rallies and so on like that, and they were in the lab and talking about civil rights. And then he told me that he got an eloquent presentation about Andraper. And you see, Andraper is a progressive. He's a socialist.
Right.
And yet, Pitt was telling Cesar about the socialists, you know, in the left, going to rallies and so like that, and infiltrating the union.
I see.
So Pete doesn't know what he's talking about either.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so far as volunteers
now,
were...
See this record here now, see?
Right, but I...
It's very damaging to Pete.
Well, I'm not necessarily...
that was true.
...indicate is that within the union, there was some kind of division as to... the attitude toward volunteers. And there were some people who were cool toward volunteers, student volunteers particularly, and there were some who were very enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, there were a number of issues that were involved.
And,
but civil rights is one great goal of the movement. Civil rights, you know.
Right.
And that's what the Michael Ministry was. They are for civil rights. You
and
know.
The volunteers were for civil rights. Is that
yeah,
right?
Sure. Okay. Now, how come Pete has been criticizing them, and they have been criticizing them, you know? And then Green didn't like them. See? They're off.
Right. But for you personally,
I saw the relationship.
You welcomed volunteers, and you had good relationships.
I was for them.
That's correct.
The students and the churches and everything. So I feel at home when I talk to them.
Right. Now, so then...
I got no conflict.
Okay. Now, so then in your experience then, did you think some of the fears of the people who were kind of cool on the union, on volunteers, for example, in fact materialized... in the course of time, like that volunteers were messing things up, or what?
I don't think so.
Okay.
The only thing that happened was this, and it was true. I told you before about the competition, you know, which is natural in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, people are a part of nature,
mm-hmm.
you know. Now, if they believe in God and this and that, it is up to them. I'm not talking about that, you know. I'm talking about the real life,
mm-hmm.
the actual struggle for survival. All right. What was the point? I kind of lost it.
I was just talking. I was asking you whether the fears of some of the people who toward volunteers
right.
were realized in
yeah.
the course of time.
Now. Of course, they got different moods and interpretations about the movement.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some fears, all right? Here's the point that I want to bring up. There is a competition between Filipinos, you know, among Filipinos. And then there is competition among Mexicans. The difference was that they have a certain leader that would agree that Cesar Chavez in the Philippines looked none because of the rivalry between...
We're talking about volunteers, however.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, well, wait a minute. I'm coming to that.
Okay.
All right, I'm just trying to tell you the friction that's going on. And then there is that... unspoken struggle between Mexicans and Filipinos, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a friction between the Mexicans and the volunteers, the Anglos, and even the Mexicans themselves. Because that's why everybody tries to get as close as he can to Cesar and Dolores, you know, to be closer to the power, see. And so those who were favored by the leadership, like Cesar mostly, well, they are the ones that survive
mm-hmm.
until they alienate him.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they find out that when Cesar find out who is kind of being feared or be safe to keep, then those are the guys that he keeps, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And discard those who are not dependable or not sure. And then among the volunteers, there is also a fierce competition among them,
mm-hmm.
whites, that they also get as close to Cesar and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is favored by the migrant ministry, you know,
yeah.
or the legal department, what they call Jerry Combs. These people are very influential in the union. They're shaping They were shaping the Union, you see.
Yeah.
So there, if you are in there and get involved and try to stay as long as you can, you got to understand Caesar yourself. And then also at the same time, you got to understand his advisors, the people who are influential, because the influential ones are the closest to him, advising him how to do it, to build the Union. And those who were against will be eliminated. The ways that Caesar eliminated them was to put them at a distance. You know, now, like for instance, people like Orendain,
mm-hmm.
See, I observed Orendain and his wife, they freely exercise their rights to speak. They got a different opinion, they say that, you know, Caesar didn't want that. He could not afford it. So he sent them to Texas. You see, no. Then again, another thing that was important development was about the organizing of workers in Florida. So most of the workers there, I understood, was blacks.
Uh-huh.
And so he sent these lions, you know, Mac Lyon. Is Mac or Max? I think Mac.
Mac, I think.
Yeah. Mac Lyons, you see. Then, you see, they didn't see Caesar, you know. So Mac was the leader, you know. Is it going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mac was the leader, see. So Mac demanded this and this and that, you know, because the people asked, see. But then Caesar, see, he began to, he didn't tell us that he was getting afraid, you know. But you could read it, you know. In between the lines, you could see it. And then he said, Mac, you know, he told Mac, you know, while he was in Florida, you know, and the lions, now the wife, he was an attorney now. But she was not before,
mm-hmm.
So he said, Mac, you know, I need the officers here in La Paz. You know why? Because Mac is getting built up as a leader, see. And he didn't want that thing to happen, you know. So he called him back. So he gave him this assignment of citizenship participation, you know. And we got a fund. That's the way Mac made the mistake of going to Las Vegas and gamble and lost $15,000 or something. I don't know the exact figure, you know.
Yeah.
But then, that time, the wife was already, they were already in Sacramento, and Diana was already a lawyer, see. So you could see that there were people that turned to be professionals who were just volunteers then and took advantage of the situation, you see. Well, that the reason is the differences in intelligence, you know. The opportunity was there and they used it. So just the same thing like I told you about, you know, a girl who worked in the clinic, and then when he got a chance to go to school, he went to the medical school and became a doctor,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that all depends upon the degree of intelligence that varies from one individual to the other. Now, Caesar called him back and said, Mac, you come home, I need you here. And he was afraid. He did not tell me. But how come he sent people out and wanted them to come back? And then some you want them to come back, you see. No. Well, Orendain was also an officer. He didn't want him to come back.
Yeah.
All right. Then I have seen, I like them. A lot of them I like. Mexicans who are young Mexicans, both men and women, very intelligent, you know, and I expected them to be trained to take over when we are gone. No. Dolores didn't want them when they were women. Cesar Chavez didn't want them when they were men, because they were so goddamn scared that they will be replaced by them someday, you know. Well, that was the purpose. Okay, now I'm going to live forever. Somebody got to take their places, you know. I'm not worried about the damn thing myself. You know, the position is nothing to me when it is kind of producing a negative result, you know. That's not the intention.
Yeah.
So it was easy for me to get out.
Yeah. Now, shifting, no. Again, still on in the notion of volunteers here, but related to the building or construction of the Agbayani village, wasn't the Agbayani village essentially built through volunteer work in terms of students? And
they did not pay anything.
Yeah.
Thing, of course, I paid something because we got to rent the places where they stayed. And then when we moved to that Shenley camp, the union paid for the rent, you know. And then I gave them something to eat, but not enough. That's why they went into food stamps, you know. Now, I mentioned what's his name? The head that I told you?
Solinas,
George. You know, George is worth a lot of money. If you're going to charge, it costs a lot of money, you know. And also the others. Now, this Phelps, his name. I forgot his first name now. And then there was another one, Herb. Aaron, they were the first, you know, and they were performing important functions in building the union. See, like Earl was a bookkeeper, you know, he does the purchasing and all the thing, you know, and so on. And then Phelps is second to George. I'm telling you, these people were very, very important.
In the construction,
you know, of course, everybody was important they worked.
Yes, weren't there some women volunteers also?
Oh, yeah. Men and women, they were doing the same work.
Like who, for instance, were they?
Well, they are having the hammer. There was a woman, I forgot her name now, he was doing the plumbing.
Oh, I see.
You know, plumbing is supposed to be a men's work thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw them in the roof, nailing and so on like that, with the hammer. Oh yeah, even the student volunteers. You have seen the picture, did you?
Some, yes.
Yeah, some, yeah. Why? Because these goddamn guys over there, you know, collected them all. And those were Asian, mostly Asian groups building the one.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, of course, some whites also with them.
Mm-hmm.
But how come they collected it all, you know? The reason is because they don't want them to be in the books, because they wanted to show that it was all Chicanos, you know? Well, I don't like that.
Yeah.
We should give credit to everybody who was involved and so on like that, no matter who they are.
So
who they were.
My understanding then is that volunteers from all over, Asian Americans, Chicanos, Anglos, some international student groups, even
Chicanos
participated.
Were there, students.
see.
You know the matcha? That's one Chicano student, you know. That is very, very strong and help a lot for the union.
Yeah, what's the name?
The matcha?
Matcha.
Mexican. You will say it in the book, matcha.
I see.
Matcha is the name taken for the whole okay. name.
Right, the acronym.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I told you that I have seen a lot of educated Mexicans and well intentioned and intelligent that could be trained for leadership. But they didn't want them because they figured that they will be taken over. Now,
you interpret.
Yeah, that's my interpretation because their attitude was like that.
Okay.
Now, if that's the attitude of the leadership of a union, you can never build a union strong enough. You can make it to collect money or something, but that is not the main goal.
Yeah.
To organize them into unity and be an effective leverage in bargaining for wages and pensions and better living conditions and safety in the workplaces.
Yeah.
That's what your goals were. It's not only money. Health care and all that.
Yeah.
Child care and so on.
Phil. One of the major happenings in the development of the union earlier was the fast that Cesar Chavez took.
Yeah.
What do you remember of that, and what was your part, if any, what role did you play in the fast?
Okay. The fast was this. It got us in surprise, you know, because there was a meeting that was called like kind of an emergency meeting.
In the Filipino Hall.
In the Filipino Hall, you know. And then Cesar was the guy presiding, you know, conducting the meeting. Of course, when in a merger, when we are together, it was Cesar. And then he talked about his fast. And of course, that was the first time, you know. We didn't know. Of course, I heard something about fast. I got an idea, but kind of big, you know, what they're going to do. All I know is they don't eat. That's all. And then the in the meeting, he said that I decided, you know, he said, Cesar said that we decided to go on a fast and it was a personal matter and he hoped that we should not criticize him, you know, and that the union should go as usual and then you have your meetings and so on like that. And decide what you do, and I'll have my fast in the 40 acres. So, when he got through, he walked out, and back through the back door in the Philippine Hall. And then, in a few moments, Ellen woke out and evidently he went with him. Okay, they walked, they did not fly. They walked to 40 acres. So, when the meeting was over, I don't know. It seems to me that when Cesar woke up, then Larry must have taken over. because she was the assistant director, you know. So, but it's not so impressive to me. But after the meeting, then Leroy came to me, Chatfield,
mm-hmm.
and he said, you know, we were talking last night about Caesar going on a fast, and we were talking about you. He said, we decided that, it was suggested or something, and decided that we should be with Caesar during his fast. And you take care of the people, visitors, not to take Caesar's picture in bed, you know. But they can take pictures outside during the they can take pictures during the mass. That's why you saw my picture with in the mass. Then I have writers coming in, and I remember.
Okay, so the fast then took place, and you were sort of guarding Caesar, so to speak, with him all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that lasted for 24 days,
mm-hmm.
but it really lasted 25. The reason why I was only there for 24 days was because Kennedy was coming,
mm-hmm.
and the officers got to meet him, see?
All right.
Just a minute, because this is, I think, important. I have a lot of visitors that want to talk to Caesar and also to take his pictures, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I told them what I told me, you know. Well, I got instructions and this and that I could do and I can't do. And then, you know, this writer in
Bernstein.
Times, Bernstein. And he said, I'm Bernstein, you know, and Caesar is my friend, and I would like to talk to him. And then I said, well, Caesar, there are many friends. You know, I know Bernstein because I read his articles, you know. When he said I'm Bernstein, then I know. But I also said that Caesar got a lot of friends. And I would like to talk to him, but according to my instructions, they are not allowed to talk to him. So if they want to take pictures, they can take pictures in the mass and so on. Then there was one who wants to take pictures really with a camera and thing. So I said, you see, the people who so many really should move it to the outside.
No.
You know, under that station?
The mass, you mean?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So I said, if you want to take the picture, you put you over there because it's not going to go there, then we'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
See? So he did. And you got a picture really, you know. And then I followed what Chatfield said. Of course, at that time, I was in good terms with them, you know. So, of course, they were, you know, they tried to handle me too. See? So we got into that, and I was screening the people and so on, like that, you know. So I followed the instructions, and at the same time, I carried the cross,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so like that. So I have been with him all the time.
So every morning you would help Caesar from his room, from his bed, to the place where the mass was held. Is that what you did?
At night.
Oh, it was at night when you had the masses?
It's not in there.
Okay. And then sometimes you carry the cross instead of helping him.
Yeah, see, you know who was with me? Lopi Mogya. Sometimes Lopi carried it, sometimes I do. I did. So I was, I didn't give a damn, you know, or I was just talking because it's all over me, I don't care. Yeah. But I really, in a very sensible, in a polite way, I answered the people, you know, yeah. Because they wanted to talk to me. I told them that I can't make it because I was instructed not to. See? Mm-hmm. So they understood. Yeah. Then, what else happened? Then, here comes the gossip. People beginning to fix their tents in front, you know, because Caesar was there, you know, and they want to sleep here at night. And so you know, you got colorful.
Yeah.
And then some, they say they are not all Catholics, see.
Yeah.
The Protestants are not all Catholics. Some are Protestants, see. Then they say there's like a kind of a circus or something, you know. And then I say they have been talking against each other. See. And then they say, are you going to the circus tonight? It becomes a joke.
Yeah.
And of course that was kind of hurting on the other side because they were all for Caesar, you know, and they believed what she was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Were they lighting candles there too?
Oh yeah. And so there I was, you know. Well, of course, to me, I didn't care. Whatever that draws the people is all right with me, you know. Mm-hmm. But then, I also kind of bothered about the tricks. You know, because not everybody is going to go for you in that kind of a way of getting the people. Because you are kind of taking advantage of their ignorance, you know. You're doing things that are like, what do you call, it's a thing that really...
So you think this was a gimmick to get the
It's a gimmick. It's a gimmick. See? And you should see that not everybody was for the Catholic bishop, see, for the union. Some were also for the growers, you see.
The Catholic bishops, you mean?
Yeah. No, they're not. Some bishops were not. Mm-hmm. Now, like that bishop in the Stockton, I think, or prisoner or somewhere. I think it was prisoner. He was against it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then he was replaced. And then for it, see. So, and then the migrant mystery, you know, oh, they like it because it gets the people, see?
Mm-hmm.
But if without the union, they won't like it, see? But everybody for the union, that is the common ground, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Catholics and who favor, and the migrant ministry who favor, it's okay.
Right. Well, so then Kennedy came at the close of the fast, and you said that the fast, you had to leave during the last day of the fast because Kennedy was coming?
Yeah.
You were saying, okay.
And
so what did you do when Kennedy came?
I was supposed to be a member of the board.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Even I was not elected. I think I was not elected.
No, not yet.
Not yet, yeah. And so... I got to go.
And was that because all members of the board were supposed to go to the meeting?
Yeah,
I see.
All
right.
I don't know if we were all there, but we were there.
Mm-hmm.
You see. And
where did you go to meet him?
In the airport.
Where, in Bakersfield?
No, in Delano. There is an airport there, small airport. No. He took a small plane. And then we rode in a car. And then went to Port Acres and we brought him to Caesar. I forgot now who was with me, but I suppose the board members should be with us. And so he broke bread with Caesar. So that was the first time that he ate, supposed to be.
In the room where Caesar was staying, is that where they broke the bread?
No, in the park. In the Memorial Park, I think. In Delano. So then, when Kennedy was seen by the crowd, and he was going back and brought him to the airport, you got to join hands and as a chain, you know, to keep the crown back, you know. Oh, he was very magnetic, and he could have been president, but he was not assassinated. Now, when we went there, as I said, we were waiting for the plane, I guess. And he was there doing nothing. I have not talked to him. Because I felt that I was too small to talk to him.
Okay, so the sequence of events was you and the other officer.